Well, good morning, Village.
Good morning.
Whether you're here in person or joining us online, we welcome you and are glad that you're joining us. Before we begin the announcements, we'll take a few minutes to greet each other. When you hear the music, just come back and we'll start singing. Quite a few announcements this morning, and following these announcements that I'm giving, we'll have three different presentations. Dave Thompson will report on the Pastor Search Committee, Ryan Hedgepath will report on the Outreach Commission, and Denise Miles will be presenting slides on the Beloved Community. Today is the chili potluck. So be sure and stay and enjoy. Even if you didn't bring anything, you're more than welcome to stay. Village always has enough food for everybody. The deacons' meeting is Monday at 7 p.m. The missions commission meets on Tuesday at 7 p.m. The church council meets on Thursday at 7 p.m. Excuse me. Palm Sunday is March 24th, and we will feature a special program. It's called The Passion According to Matthew. The Monday-Thursday service is a joint service between United Parish and Village, and that service will be here at 7 p.m. on March 28th. The Good Friday service, which is also jointly with United Parish, will be at 7 p.m. at United Parish on March 29th. Easter sunrise services for all you who love to get up early. I'm not really one of them, but I'll be here. Is at 6:30 a.m. on March 31st. And then the Easter regular worship services at 11 on the 31st. And today is the last day that you will be able to order Easter flowers. This is the day the Lord has made.
This is Dave Thompson. I'm not going to walk up front, but just give you a very quick update from the Pastor Search Committee. We continue to receive applications, I'm happy to say. We have now scheduled three interviews with promising candidates, and those interviews will be taking place later this month. So we are making progress. Stand by.
As you can see, we're all wearing some Village swag today. This has been a project that the Outreach Commission's been working on for some time. We really want to thank Karen Woodson, who really led this effort. She actually took a lot of time to work with someone that had some expertise in marketing and how to present your products. And our product is obviously Village. And so these are not replacement symbols. We will always have the same symbol, but we did she helped us do the research. We spent some time working on it and came up with some designs that we can use, not just for hoodies, because I know it's almost too warm for that, but she's going to set up a time in the future and have the vendor who helped us with the sweatshirts come in and show examples of sweatshirts, t-shirts, polos, other. And so just be on the lookout. And it's something we're excited about doing. So thank you all very much. No fashion show this morning. Sorry about that.
I'm wearing a pink sweatshirt. I'm Denise Miles, for those of you that don't know me. I'm one of the co-chairs of our beloved community committee. Not initiative. It's a commission, committee, committee? I think we're a committee, something with a C. Anyways, last month we had the wonderful Miss Willie Pearl, I keep saying her name wrong, Mackie King, came, and during the Q&A session, she sort of, you might not have heard it, but she sort of issued a challenge to Village that, you know, we are all connected and we like to say how close we are and how diverse we are, but she issued a challenge that you can always be closer and that perhaps we come together on Sundays, but do we really know each other that well? And so we would like to offer the connection challenge, which is simply the idea that this March and into April, if you run out of room, but pick three villagers who you don't really know. And honestly, it goes through the you know, the directory and just look at a name and say, I don't really know that person that well, or maybe I haven't talked to that person in a while. And we're issuing the challenge to just send a note, handwrite it or type it, but send a note and introduce yourself or reintroduce yourself and share the story of, you know, your connection to Village, how you found us, why you love it, and invite them to do the same. I guess it's sort of like one of those little chain mail things where, like, if you send out seven letters, you'll get five back. I don't know. We'll try our best, but that's your challenge. I'm taking part in the challenge, and we would encourage all of you to start with one letter and then maybe get to three by the end of the month.
Thank you. Good morning. We have been born into a world of sin. We try to do the right thing, but at times we fail and temptations seem to win. At other times, we seem to drown our failures, believing nothing good can come from us. We forget that God has called us to repent and that God remembers our sins no more. We light this candle as a symbol of the light of Jesus Christ and our trust that in him our sins are forgiven when we repent and turn back to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, help us to turn back to you when we stray. As we journey towards the cross this Lenten season, help us to repent from where we have gone wrong. Amen.
Good morning, Village. We are inching ever closer to Easter, aren't we? Sunday by Sunday, and we open wide our doors today and welcome all who are here in the sanctuary and all who might be streaming online. Glad to have all of you with us. It's a time when we pause to pray and to share our concerns with one another, and we're glad we have the opportunity to do that. And while we're doing that, we're going to mute those who are online, but we'll bring you right back as soon as we begin to pray. Are there any concerns that anyone wants to share this morning, or any blessings that anyone wants to share? God, because you sent your Son, we're bold to pray for our needs and the needs of those we love and care about. We pray today for those who do languish in the wilderness of war and unrest and violence and oppression. We pray for peace and for justice in those troubled areas around the world where war has reared its ugly head. We pray for our world and for our leaders that you would uphold them and give them sound judgment and merciful hearts as they discharge their responsibilities. That you would lead them to do what is right for the common good. We pray for your earth that we might be good stewards of the beauty and the resources we see all around us. Lord, quiet the violence of storms, heal the destruction of flood and wind and drought, that life might flourish and every creature rejoice in the goodness of your creation. We pray for all those who perish from hunger or cruelty, who lack even the basic necessities of life. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through painful bereavement because of someone they love. We lift up those who are confused and don't know where to turn, and those who are lonely and feel like nobody even cares about them. Heal and comfort and strengthen those who are sick in body or mind or spirit. Especially we remember little McKenna today and her parents as they give care. Help them to feel your presence in a very real and special way. Bring hope, Lord, to those who are looking for employment and lead them to meaningful work. Let those who are undergoing surgery or those who battle with addiction find health and wholeness. God, the needs are so great, but we rejoice that you are greater. Hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Guess what? All right, we know the routine. It's time for the children's story. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. So, can't see my slides, right? Sorry, I guess there's a lot of movement going on here. Okay, so what does it take to become a butterfly? A caterpillar? What does it take to become a frog? I'll pick on somebody else, but let's see. Go ahead. A tadpole. What does it take to become a, let's see. Okay, we'll go with a duck. What does it take to become a duck?
Go in the water.
Okay, go in the water. Yeah. A duckling, good. And what does it take to become a whale?
Go in the water.
A baby whale. That's right. So, you know, I was thinking about this morning. Okay, we're going to get along up here, right? Do I have to put one over on this side and one over on this side? Okay, so I was thinking about, you know, the changes we go through in life. A tadpole becomes a frog. A butterfly goes through like four different stages. First it's an egg, and then it becomes a caterpillar, I think I heard. And then what's that in-between stage? Avery, you said? Cocoon. It's actually called a pupa or chrysalis, but I think a lot of us just call it a cocoon, but I think moths actually have the cocoon. And then I said, well, what does it take to become a Christian? Believing in God. Believing in God. Now, your moms and dads may be Christians. Does that make you automatically a Christian? No? No? Why not? They gave birth to you. Somebody gave birth to you, and they call themselves a Christian, and you may have an answer. Go ahead. You have to believe. Exactly. You have to believe. You can't believe. You can't become a Christian just because your auntie's a Christian, or your brother's a Christian, or your cousin, or your teacher, your Sunday school teacher, the pastor. No. You, each one of you have to say, I believe in Jesus. That's kind of what makes the difference between being a Christian and maybe somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus, is that you believe in Jesus. And Jesus is three in one, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know, I wonder if the kids know exactly what's involved in doing that. You know, so you believe, what do? Do you just say it one night and then just get up and go, you know, go swimming? Jordan? Jordan says you have to pray every night. Well, you should pray a lot, not necessarily every night, but that's a good thing to do. Go to church, those are great things. Anything else to do to become a Christian? All right, let's give you a try over. You're becoming a Christian, what do? Okay, you pray over your dinner. That helps, yes. He goes to sleep, he wakes up and brushes your teeth. Good hygiene, great things to do, right? Jordan, did you want to add one more thing? I couldn't hear you. You want to say it loud or you want me to just repeat it? Jordan says, get baptized. Yeah, get baptized. Exactly right. So you believe, you say you believe, and then you get baptized. And so you got the butterfly who came from a cocoon or a chrysalis or a caterpillar. You got the frog that came from a tadpole. And then you have you wonderful people becoming Christians because you were little boys and girls. You believed, you said you believed, and you got baptized. So he went through all those. Well, think about it. Pray about it. Sit down with your parents and pray, God, if I'm going to follow you and be a good Christian, how do I do that? One of the steps is being baptized. So, with that, let's say a quick prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these children and their thoughts and their wisdom. Watch over each of them through the week, and they get understanding of what it is you want them to do and be in life. And may they confess and get baptized and become good Christians for you. Amen. Okay, so we'll hear our special music and then you can go.
Thank you, Linda. That was beautiful. The scripture for today is from John 3, verses 14 to 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Thanks be to God for this, his holy word.
Please pray with me. God, open our ears to hear your message for us today. Open our hearts to receive the good news of your love. And may it be your word that is heard today and not my own. Amen. For God so loved the world Martin Luther called it the gospel in miniature. We see it printed on billboards. We see it on bumper stickers. We used to see it at sporting events. I don't see it quite as much as I used to at sporting events. But these are words that are at the very heart of the good news of the gospel. To really understand this passage, you have to look at the verses preceding it a little bit. The first few verses of chapter 3 depict Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee, and he's coming to Jesus at night. The old joke is Nick at night. I don't know why he came at night. Maybe as a Jewish teacher, he just didn't want to be seen with Jesus. I'm not sure. But Nicodemus thought Jesus to be the one who had come from God because Jesus was going around doing all of these miraculous signs and wonders. And so Jesus, in confronting Nicodemus, drills down to the core of the matter by saying, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Well, that's kind of confusing. And Nicodemus has a hard time making sense of that. He says, I've already been born. Why do I need to be born again? But Jesus continues the conversation, teaching Nicodemus to be about the need to be born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it will. But Nicodemus still doesn't get it. So Jesus recalls a story from the book of Numbers. Nicodemus would have known that story. And he draws a parallel, Jesus does, between the way that Moses lifted up the serpent on a pole to heal the Israelites and the way that he, as the Son of Man, will be lifted up, not to condemn, but to heal. In the book of Numbers, looking at the serpent brought healing, and it brought rescue and deliverance from sin. In John, looking at Christ lifted up, we receive love and forgiveness and deliverance and healing. Now, for Jesus, both of these images, the serpent and the cross, are reminders of the saving action of God. Several churches I have attended have a custom, and I find it impressive when I'm there to see it. And maybe someday we could do it here. Well, why not do it today? I mean, why not today? If you don't like it, well, I'm only the interim. But I want you to look at the person next to you, either side of you, and I want you to repeat after me. Oh, come on, do it. Just say, I love you, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you can do about it. Now, see, you did that well. That wasn't so hard. I mean, have you heard those words from anybody else this week? So maybe it's a good thing to do. But that's God's message to each and every one of us. I love you whether you like it or not, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. There's a welcome sign, I understand, that used to hang outside Coventry Cathedral in England. And for all I know, it still does. But it's a wonderful sign. It says, we extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, widowed, straight, gay, confused, well-heeled, or down at the heel. This is a long sign. We especially welcome wailing babies and excited toddlers. We welcome you whether you sing like Pavarotti or just growl quietly to yourself. We are welcome here if you're just browsing, just woken up, or just got out of prison. We don't care if you're more Christian than the Archbishop of Canterbury or you haven't been to church since Christmas 10 years ago. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but have not grown up yet and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. And it goes on. We welcome keep fit moms, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems, are down in the dumps, or don't even like organized religion. We're not that keen on it either. We offer welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or are here because Granny is visiting and wanted to come to the cathedral. We welcome those who are inked or pierced, both or neither. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a special prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throats as kids, or got lost and wound up here by mistake. We welcome pilgrims, tourists, seekers, doubters, and we welcome you. Now, I think that's the kind of love that God calls us to, because that's the way God loves. So often, John 3:16 is kind of seen as a punching our ticket so that we, when we die, we can go to heaven. And I'm not saying there is no judgment. The world is so messed up. God judges our failure to receive Christ's light. And we see that our culture's sin and brokenness in so many ways, senseless violence, the racism that continues to plague us. We see it in our hearts, too, in our broken relationships, in our addictions, our self-destructive behaviors. But above it all, there is love, God's love. You know, sometimes I don't think we read these words carefully enough. As I say, we hear these words and we think, oh, it's my ticket to heaven. But read it slowly, and it says, for God so loved. See, you're starting to participate. This is good. For God so loved the world. These words are not just for the seeking religious folks. God gave his son to the whole world. Translated, cosmos. God loves the sun and the moon and the stars, the nebulae and the galaxies and the black holes and everything under the sea. God loves mountaintops and valleys and plains. God loves tadpoles and butterflies. God loves Democrats and Republicans. They don't love each other, but God loves them. God loves birds and foxes and dogs and maybe cats. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. James Howell has written, God loves the part of town we try to avoid. God loves the home of dysfunctional families. God loves the people who hurt and the people who do battle with mental illness. God loves the smallest thing we can imagine and the largest thing we can imagine. God loves you and me. God loves not to condemn, but to save. Did you know that the fourth Sunday of Lent was once upon a time called Mid-Lent, or sometimes Refreshment Sunday? It's true. It was a time for fruitcakes and refreshment. It was a break in the rigor of penitence and self-denial and fasting. We don't have any fruitcakes maybe a few. And refreshment for us is going to be chilly. But this is a time, nevertheless, to pause and focus upon Christ as the experience of God's grace among us. Let me illustrate it this way. There was once a mean old rancher. He was a tough man. He didn't take nothing off of nobody. One of his cowhands stole a cow. When they finally caught the cowhand, they dragged him before this tough curmudgeon of a rancher. He looked down at that poor, frightened cowhand, and he said, "Hang him. It'll teach him a lesson." Years went by and that old rancher died. It was his turn for judgment. And then they took him before the throne of God. He thought of all the mean things he had done in his life and he shook in his boots And God Almighty looked down at that mean old curmudgeon of a rancher, and God said, "Forgive him, it'll teach him a lesson." You know, people often don't come to church because they think we church folks are too judgmental. Well, they haven't come to Village, I guess. But just this morning, I saw a post on Facebook from a man, an alcoholic, who said, "When I'm late to church, people turn around and stare at me with frowns of disapproval. When I'm late to my AA meeting, people jump up to hug me and welcome me. They know my lateness may be a sign that I almost didn't make it. And when I show up, it proves that my desperate need for them won out over my desperate need for alcohol." We always need to let people know how welcome they are, that our table is really big, and there is always a place with our name on it. There's just too much condemning that goes on in the name of religion. Religious folks are often found condemning somebody or leaving somebody out or leaving somebody behind. Verse 17 says, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved." That aligns so nicely with the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." None, nada, not one bit. And yet, no matter how many times we hear those words, I suspect that many of us don't believe it. That many of us, as Thoreau said, live lives of quiet desperation. Maybe it's a missed opportunity. Maybe it's a regret over some hurt that we did to someone else. Maybe it's a profound sadness over a relationship with a friend or a family member, a coworker that's gone sour. But when you talk to people for any length of time, scratch the surface, you kind of get a sense from them of they're not feeling worthy. And that's why these verses are so very important. God is not angry with us. God forgives. God accepts us just as we are and sets us free to live lives of meaning and purpose and grace and gratitude. God has given us a son, lifted him high on a cross so that all could see his light, not to condemn, but to save. There was a man by the name of Dan Wakefield. He wrote an article some time ago that was entitled "Returning to Church." And he described how his life had turned from despair to faith. He went through this terribly treacherous time in his life. A long-standing relationship had dissolved. He was out of money. He had buried both of his parents in the span of 7 months. And drugs were his means of escape. He said he was on the edge of a cliff. Then one day he had a chance conversation with a house painter who invited him to attend a Christmas Eve candlelight service. And he did. And then he went to some other services and then Bible study. And then he developed a devotional life. And he began to experience this growing freedom from what he called his purposelessness and his assortment of life-numbing addictions. He felt like they'd just been taken away. And the only way he could describe such experience, and this is what got my attention, the only way he could describe that kind of experience was with the word grace, and by the adjective amazing that comes to mind along with it. Amazing grace. Friends, look to the cross, to Christ lifted up, and see not God's condemnation, but God's love. See and experience that healing and that hope. See the promise and the possibility of new life. For God so loved the world. Let's pray together. We thank you, God, for this season of Lent, during which we remember your great love for us in Christ. We thank you for that gift and pray that through him you would so fill us with your life that we become signs ourselves in this world of your unconditional, immeasurable grace and your everlasting love. As our worship ends, speak to us. Share with us the word of grace that each one of us most needs to hear, so that we can then respond with faithfulness and with love. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn, Amazing Grace. Would you stand if you're able and join us in singing? Our luncheon now, a chili. What do they call it? A chili what?
A chili cook-off.
Chili cook-off. Right, right. I hope you'll stay and remain after for that. I'm sure you'll be glad that you did. I'm going to say a blessing over the food, so everybody, when you go in, you can start immediately, and then we'll have the benediction. Will you bow with me? God, we give thanks for these moments of worship, for all that we've seen and heard and experienced. And now we're going to share food and fellowship around the tables. We're grateful for the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. Bless the food we share to our bodies, and may that food give us strength to love and serve you and our neighbor. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.
Thank you.